Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Good morning, or afternoon, depending on the time you tune in. But welcome and thank you for tuning in today. In 2001, more than 2 million children were being homeschooled in the U.S. alone, reported the Census Bureau. Since then, the amount of children being homeschooled has grown 15 to 20% per year. Our guest today, Rachel Gathercole, is a proud mother, proud wife. She has three children and has been homeschooling for at least 10 years. She has written many informative articles and essays that cut through stereotypes, misconceptions, and shed new light on homeschooling, parenting, and children. Rachel Gathercole is the author of The Well-Adjusted Child, The Social Benefits of Homeschooling. And this book is one of Amazon's bestsellers. It's on the top 10 list of Amazon's bestsellers and the Library Journal bestseller. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Yvonne. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I have a little bit of a sore throat, so I hope that that doesn't interfere with me being able to be heard.
No, we'll work through it.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, one, I commend you on putting this book out there in the first place.
Thank you.
One of those who had my own perception of what homeschooling was about. With that said, you've been homeschooling your children for 10 years?
Well, it depends on my kids. I have a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old, and none of them have ever been to school, so it depends on where you're counting it. A lot of people count these days since, you know, it's typical to go to preschool before school. A lot of people start counting homeschooling, you know, once their kids are in preschool and all the other kids, once their kids are not in preschool and most of the other kids are in preschool, then they consider themselves to start homeschooling. So it kind of depends where you start counting it from, but yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. initially, why did you choose to homeschool versus your children attending public or private school?
Well, there were several reasons, really. So when my oldest was an infant and a toddler, we had kept him close to us and felt that we were the best able to take care of him. And we also, you know, watched him learning the English language and how to count and all the other things that they learn during that time. And we just saw how he was learning and thriving so well in that environment. We began to question why we should change what we were doing and send him into somebody else's care each day just because his age reached a particular number. And so that was what would cause us to start questioning. And then we started to meet other homeschoolers, and we were just very impressed with how well-spoken they were and how well-behaved and, you know, how intelligent they seemed and so on. And that prompted us to just start reading about homeschooling and learning more about it. And we started to learn about all of its many benefits to children and families, and we ultimately just came to the conclusion that it was a good fit for our family. And that has definitely turned out to be true for us.
Wow.
So.
Typically, why do you think many of the parents that do choose to homeschool, why do you think they typically choose to homeschool?
I understand what you mean. That's an excellent question. The U.S. Census Bureau, in their big study back in 2001, told us that there are a number of reasons, and most families actually have more than one reason. And my research interviewing parents and kids across the United States and Canada confirms a lot of those reasons, that the majority, I would say, are doing it because they feel that their kids can get a better quality education at home, either just because of the ability to individualize methods and the whole methods and subject matter can be tailored and individualized to the student's needs. A lot of people don't feel that the schools are challenging enough for their particular child, or just because the homeschooling movement is showing such great academic success in terms of test scores and stuff, for whatever reason they feel that their kids can get a better quality education. But there are also a lot of other very common reasons, such as family unity, keeping the family together, and encouraging strong family relationships, various kinds of freedom that a lot of these families consider very important to them, and socialization reasons, which are very common, which I'll tell you more about in a second. But and about a third of all homeschoolers also count religion as one of their reasons for homeschooling. And then some of the socialization reasons I was mentioning would include, as I said, though you wouldn't expect it, a large number of parents homeschool actually largely for social reasons. Those reasons would include they might see their child being harmed by the school system, either physically or emotionally, by other children or possibly by adults in the system. Or the parents may not like unhealthy behaviors and attitudes they see the child picking up from their peers. Or they feel that stronger family relationships will fortify the child to face future challenges, or in some cases they want to avoid a sexist or racist environment that they feel is found in the schools, in some schools. And the list goes on and on, but those are social reasons. But overall, I think the common element is just that, you know, these parents want to give their children the best childhood and the best future they can, and they feel that homeschooling can offer it for their families.
Okay. Also, I wanted to ask, what would you say, you've been doing it for 10 years now, what is the greatest challenge that you faced homeschooling, and how were you able to work through it?
Well, let's see, that's a very good question. I have to say, I can't really say that I have experienced any great challenges that I can think of associated specifically with homeschooling. I think the challenges of homeschooling are just the same challenges of parenting that everyone faces, you know, resolving family conflicts and dealing with developmental challenges that come up, and finding, you know, methods of discipline that work for the family and so on. And in my experience, homeschooling has made those challenges in some ways easier to face and easier to deal with, because the family has so much time to be together in a relaxed way and know each other well, and as opposed to cramming the family time sort of into the tired, cranky hours at the end of the day and so on. In that sense, I feel like homeschooling has helped us deal with those challenges more easily, because we have a chance to work together on figuring out skills and mm-hmm. ways to live and work and play together on a day-to-day basis, and it just gets easier with practice. As far as homeschooling specific challenges go, if I had to name one specifically associated with homeschooling, I guess it would have to be talking to other people about it and explaining the choice to other people, and dealing with the disapproval of, you know, friends and relatives,
right,
and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's something that a lot of parents struggle with. And how have I worked through it? I guess just by educating myself and having a support group, you know, having being around other homeschoolers. And then, of course, that's why I, well, that's one of the reasons why I ended up writing my book, is because I just, I had gotten to the point where that was not a concern for me so much anymore. But I could see that a lot of other people, you know, needed some more information and support and stuff, because that is,
right,
something that is hard for a lot of parents, you know, is trying to do this thing that's different and people not understanding it very well.
Yeah. Every now and then it does cross my mind to homeschool. I have a six-year-old with named Zion, and I know that a lot of parents that have kids with special needs, it has probably crossed their mind if they're not already doing it. One of my biggest concerns with homeschooling, and I'm looking for you to clarify that for me, to educate me, is the developmental skill as social skills. Does homeschooling limit, because one of my biggest concerns, as I said, was, is he going to be able to get the same social benefits as he would with learning how to, you know, deal with his peers and work through problems and stuff. Does homeschooling limit the benefits of, with that said, does homeschooling limit the benefits that public school or private school has to offer as far as that is concerned, the social?
The social opportunities with peers and all of that.
Right.
You're saying. Yeah. It certainly actually doesn't. And it's such a common concern or perception about homeschooling. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's a very common perception that that homeschooling limits the social opportunities or social development. But in fact, research shows that socialization is actually an advantage of homeschooling. And as strange as that may sound, because I know there are going to be people who are going to go, "What? That's not possible." you know, but it's as strange as it may sound. Homeschoolers actually report that they have more time with their peers and more friends than they either did when they were in school or than their school-going neighbors, you know, have, and so on. And they also comment that they have closer and more more rewarding friendships in terms of, you know, how much time they get to spend together talking and how much they have in common with their friends. And that sounds strange, but it actually makes sense when you realize a couple of things. One is that homeschoolers get their peer contact in basically the same places that school children get most of their socialization, which is in the neighborhood, at Scouts, at church, you know, classes in the community like dance and martial arts and, you know, youth orchestra and sports teams and so on. In fact, kids who go to school have often said to me, you know, because I've interviewed kids who are school-going, you know, public school and private school-going kids, and they've often said to me, you know, in school, the grown-ups say they want you to make friends and socialize, but then they don't let you. You know, they don't let you talk. You only have 15 minutes of recess and so on. So they're waiting for the end of the day to do their, you know, to really socialize. And so really school kids rely on the same sources for social time as many homeschoolers do. But in addition to that, homeschoolers have the benefit of the homeschool community as well, to, you know, other homeschoolers who are available during the day. And excuse me. And so they socialize there, too. And the other thing is that because homeschooling is very efficient, and this is something that a lot of people, you know, it's hard to see into the lives of homeschoolers and have a good idea of what homeschooling really looks like, you know, when you're doing it. But homeschooling is very efficient. There's obviously a very low student-teacher ratio. There's not a lot of wasted time in terms of busy work and transit and, you know, attendance taking and all that kind of stuff. So it just takes less time, and homeschoolers have end up having, in most cases, a lot of extra time to be out playing with each other and socializing and that sort of thing, even when school-going kids are still in class.
Mm-hmm.
And they do tend to get out and play with each other in that time. They have lots of, in most cases, they have a lot of freedom to go to each other's houses and to have group play dates at the park and to form classes together and, you know, have sleepovers and go to the mall and whatever else interests them, depending on their ages and so on. But and they're able to spend that time together in a more kind of more relaxed environment. They're not confined to 5 minutes in the hall or passing notes in class or whatever. And homeschooled kids seem to find that this really pays off in terms of their ability to, like I said, have close friendships and have a, you know, a fun social life, even above and beyond what they feel they would be getting if they went to school.
Okay. So, I'll have a quick question, too.
Uh-huh.
As far as that is concerned, I was just wondering, so, like in public school, they have 7 hours.
Uh-huh.
In school, I think 7 hours, if my calculation's right, 6-7 hours. So homeschooling a typical day is less than that 7 hours?
Well, there are a lot of different approaches to homeschooling. So the kind of school-at-home approach, what people call the school-at-home approach, which is, you know, sitting down with a curriculum a certain number of, you know, certain specific hours per day, they spend a lot less time. People who do that spend a lot less time. Now, not everybody does that because there are a lot of different approaches, and there are lots of homeschoolers who kind of view, you know, all of life as a learning experience and take advantage of all hours of the day to, you know, just be learning from the world and, you know, going to, you know, museums and the library and whatever, you know. But either way, they're able to choose. So, yeah, people who sit down with a curriculum and, you know, do the all of that kind of stuff in sort of a traditional way, definitely find that it takes a lot less time because, as I said, there's not, you don't have to wait for other students to finish, and you're just doing exactly what
needs to be done for that. Okay.
The point that you're at that moment, that's what you're doing, and it's explained until the moment that the child gets it, and then you're done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the other approaches, really they're kind of mixing their social time with their educational time in a sense. Like, you know what I mean? They're going out into the world and they're taking classes with other homeschoolers and going on field trips and that kind of thing. And so they're kind of combining their social time and their learning time, if you will, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Does that answer your question?
And we'll get more into the structure part in a minute. What if a parent, let's say, for example, the parent doesn't have strong math skills, or if the parent doesn't have overall strong academic skills or have challenges, you know, when they were in school, they had challenges in every subject, but they want their child homeschooled, is this an option?
It is an option.
Is there options for them?
Yeah, and you know, the one thing I could say about that is that, you know, the world is full of, and the homeschooling community is full of resources. You know, homeschooling parents often form co-ops and just share teaching responsibilities with other parents according to their strengths. And there are also, you know, the homeschooling community is getting so big that there are, you know, often lots of classes going on in the community specifically for homeschoolers to meet the needs that those families need to fill. And there are all kinds of available resources available, you know, for sale on various subject matters. You know, there are businesses offering those materials. And then, of course, there's, you know, the library, and there are books available online and internet courses and educational videos and so on available to any parent who feels that they need those types of resources to supplement what they personally, you know, have to offer. But, you know, another angle on the same question, though, and this is something that I've heard from a lot of homeschooling parents, is that many homeschooling parents feel and believe that their higher objective for their child's education is not just to, is in addition to, you know, having them learn the material, is for the child to learn how to find things out and how to learn and how to think, so that then they can learn anything they want throughout life. And so from that perspective, the parent and child going in search of that information or seeking a resource in the community to help with subject matter or whatever, you know, is part of the educational process. And they feel actually in some ways helps the child learn how to find things out and how to learn. And in that regard, it absolutely would not be necessary for a parent to feel like they were, you know, an expert in every subject matter in order to homeschool a child and, you know, provide them with a solid education. And then, you know, also I've talked to, you know, public school teachers and who have, you know, who jump around, sort of, not jump around, but, you know, one year they might be teaching one subject and the next year they might be teaching another subject. And you know, they have to prepare themselves at the beginning of the year or, you know, at the beginning of the unit by, you know, reading ahead and brushing up their skills, too. So that's, you know, in some ways that's just part of that opportunity to refresh your memory or to learn more is, you know, is part of the, just part of the teaching process in a way, you know.
Okay. So they can, like, incorporate online classes, because I noticed, like, with my son's, my oldest son, he's 15, his high school offers online classes.
Right.
So they would have the option to incorporate online classes, tutors, like you said, libraries, books, videos, different stuff like that. But then they have, is there, even though they have the freedom to kind of, as far as structure, even though they have the freedom to structure it how they want to, are there certain guidelines they still have to follow?
Definitely, yeah. And I was, that's what I was going to say when you were saying about the online classes and that sort of thing. You know, each parent has their own reasons that they're homeschooling and what they're looking for in the experience. And so depending on what those reasons are, you can use the resources, all the resources available to you. But, yeah, every state has laws in terms of what is required of homeschoolers. Some states are much more specific and stringent than other states. You know, some states give a lot more freedom in terms of what is covered and, you know, methods and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's just, you know, people have to look, homeschoolers have to become educated about what the laws are in their state.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that every state requires annual standardized testing. I could be wrong about that. But most states, you know, every state requires some kind of standardized testing. And, you know, I'm in North Carolina, and here we're required to keep attendance records and, you know, do standardized testing and that sort of thing. But there are some states that actually require you to have your lesson plans approved by the local school district or whatever. So, it just varies a lot from state to state what the requirements are.
Okay. With public school, most of the cost, well, not all of the cost, of course, you still got to pay for graduation fees and different fees that the school charge. But for the most part, the question is, one of my other concerns is cost.
Uh-huh.
Is homeschooling costly is it expensive?
Right, that's a good question. Now, that's a case where, you know, different families choose different approaches. So I would say that overall it is not very costly to homeschool, although you can choose to spend whatever you know what I mean? Some homeschoolers choose to spend money on, you know, supplemental or extracurricular stuff or whatever, but I guess that's true in any schooling situation. But, studies that have been done about that have found that that families don't tend to spend much money at all on homeschooling families, excuse me, don't tend to spend much money at all on educational materials. And a very large number don't even purchase a prepackaged curriculum or, you know, or spend much money at all on that kind of thing. And that's even in these studies are the same studies that show it's the same sampling of students who have shown exceptionally high scores on standardized tests because I don't know if I mentioned this before, but homeschoolers across the board tend to score very well on standardized tests and, you know, are being sought after by colleges and universities and so on. And so it doesn't seem to be a necessity to spend a lot of money, although, you know, like I said, some families do choose to spend money. But really, you know, how can that work? You know, you have these studies showing that the parents are not spending a lot of money, but the kids are still doing very well. And I think it's really just because it's the one-on-one individualized nature of the situation that makes it work so well, and that just doesn't take a lot of money. And then, you know, when you do need more resources, like I said earlier, we have public libraries, we have the community, and, you know, and just the, you know, the world at large. And the only thing I would say could definitely be considered costly about homeschooling is, of course, the possible lack of income of the primary homeschooling parent, if that's a choice that the family makes. And most homeschooling families, I think, do have, you know, at least one parent who's primarily home, you know, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
And even that, it's quite common for homeschooling parents to have some kind of part-time job or home business or whatever in some kind of creative situation that that works together with homeschooling. But that is the one thing that I would say, if costliness were a concern, that would be where it would come from mainly, is the, you know, the lack of that, of having that time available for income.
Okay. The public schools set a certain structure that supposed to be designed to prepare them for having some type of structure in their life as far as study habits, different things that they try to instill in the kids. How can I, for example, incorporate that same structure for my son, if that were something I chose to do, if homeschooling was something I chose to do?
Right. Well, that's interesting. So a lot of parents, you know, it depends on which aspects of the structure you're referring to, but, you know, with homeschooling, you're sort of the principal of your own homeschool, and you can set it up, you know, in whatever way you see fit. And but, you know, another way I think of asking, or another, I think, side of what you're asking is something that people ask a lot, which is, you know, how can a child be prepared for the real world if they're not in the mass school setting, if they're not in this, in that school setting? And I think that, you know, one answer that homeschoolers often give to that is that, you know, homeschoolers are living and playing and working in the real world every day of their lives. They're not waiting for, they don't have to wait until adulthood to have access to the real world. And when you think about the nature of the real world and adult life, you know, it's a question to ask whether the structure found in schools actually even is realistic preparation for it. For instance, you know, how many of us, after we finish school, go on to live or work in an environment where we have assigned seats and, you know, can't get up and can't talk out of turn and, you know, need permission to use the bathroom and change rooms at every hour? You know, probably not a lot of us, you know.
Right.
And being confined to a classroom that you are, you know, literally not allowed to leave, with only kids your own age, you know, rain or shine, 9 months out of every year, isn't necessarily that similar to the real world experience that they're going to have when they grow up. And because, you know, in the adult world, in the real world, we live with people we care about, and we interact with people of all ages, and you know, we can quit a job if it doesn't work for us and find a different one. And introverts can find work that doesn't require being around lots of people, and extroverts can, you know, you can adjust to your own needs, and there's no such thing as an office where there's only 37-year-olds working, or, you know, or a job that, well, in America, as far
right.
as I know, there's no such thing as a job that it's against the law for you to quit, even if you hate it, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Whereas that is kind of the situation that that we're in school, you know. And so I would say that, in a sense, living in a in the context of a family and a community is a structure that is more like the real world, and homeschoolers are already living in that real world. And when I interviewed parents, homeschooling parents and kids for my book, you know, I heard lots of stories of so many kids who are, you know, out in the community interacting with businesses, in some cases running their own business, you know, volunteering in the community and playing and so on. And that's where they learn their social skills and their real life skills. And they, you know, the home, a lot of the homeschoolers I talked to feel like that's a more suitable situation, that it's harder to learn real life skills sitting in a desk and, you know, looking at a book or at a blackboard or whatever. And, you know, they feel that the family and the community is where those things are really ultimately learned. And it's interesting, when you look at the history of compulsory schooling, the system, how we have it now, and it's different now than it was, than it's been, you know, over the years it's evolving and changing, but when you look at the history of compulsory schooling, the system, how we have it now, it really isn't necessarily set up or designed for the children or to prepare them for life. It was more designed as a way for the system to cope with mass schooling, with the need to educate huge numbers of kids using only a very small number of adults. And that has by itself necessitated a lot of the structure and standardization that we find in schools now, even though that comes at the expense of individualizing and, you know, an individual student's needs and stuff. And homeschoolers don't have that limitation because just they simply have a more manageable student-teacher ratio. That's not to say that you couldn't set up certain structures in your homeschool if you want to. I sort of went off on a tangent there, but sorry. But you know, there are plenty of homeschoolers who do try to duplicate a lot of that, those kinds of structures by either getting together and forming classes with other homeschoolers or by setting up the certain hours of the day. You know, we do, you know, we're going to do school from 9 to 3, and we're going to have, you know, a lunch break, and we're going to have, you know, recess or whatever. There are definitely families who do that. It just depends on what parts of the structure they value and how they want to do it.
And probably their availability, too.
And their availability, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, in some cases, how many kids they're working with, because it's, I think homeschooling one child is very different from homeschooling, you know, six,
right,
and or whatever, you know, it's but it depends on what you consider important in, you know, what you want to take from the school situation and use to your, you know, what you feel is going to be to your family's advantage. And that's one of the, that's actually one of, when I mentioned freedoms earlier, that's one of the reasons that that people, and one of the benefits that people get out of homeschooling is just the ability to look at what's working and just pick and choose and do what works for each individual child, which, you know, I think most school teachers would do that too if they could. It's just they're dealing with too large a group of kids.
Right.
To have that, you know what I mean, to have that benefit. So it's you know, it's just doing what works for the individual family.
And so they can, so the structure is set up based on, I'm just trying to make sure I understand, the structure and how you decide to set up the materials and how you decide to do your budget, or, you know, how, if it's relying on the library or, like you said, prepackaged courses, all that depends on how the parent chooses to approach. And I'm asking too, is social activities an option? Like if they wanted to be able to participate in the band in that county, the marching band because they're not enrolled in that specific school. Because I do notice, like, on the school board website, they do have resources through the school board for the parent. But can they participate, let's say, if they wanted to be a part of something that's going on in the school?
Well, that's a good question. That really depends on the location. In some states and in some counties, homeschoolers are allowed and welcome to participate in school activities like sports and dances and classes and so on, and band and whatever. In others, they're not. It depends on the laws and regulations in that state or county and to a certain extent on the attitudes of the public in that county and state. In some places, it's very open to that. In fact, in some places, there are homeschoolers who even go to school part-time at public school and who kind of like are able to pick and choose what classes, like maybe they, and this actually addresses somewhat what you were asking before too about the subject matters that, you know, there are some places where if a parent wants to send their child just for science or whatever, they can. Now, that's not to say that any parent can do anything they want anytime.
Right,
and this is
right.
If you're a registered homeschooler and you're taking responsibility for your child's education, but you want to supplement them with one class. There are some places where you can do that kind of stuff. But there are other places where they will not allow that. So that depends on the school board and so on. I think it is increasing. It's becoming available in more areas because, homeschoolers are taxpayers and we do pay the same taxes as everybody else that pays for the schools and so on. But, you know, there are definitely places where people feel like, you know, you're choosing to homeschool, you don't get to use the schools. So that's something that I guess just has to be looked into for a particular area. And that does come up.
It depends on the board.
Yeah, and it does come up sometimes in the homeschooling community, although not necessarily as often as you might think, because, these days, like I've said before, the homeschooling community is getting so big, and homeschoolers have their own sports teams and dances and all of that stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so now he or she is complete. They're done with homeschooling, and I think you kind of touched on it earlier. What about going to college? Are they qualified for college?
That's, again, going to depend on the individual, but homeschoolers, as a general rule, have had a lot of success getting into college and succeeding in college. And as I mentioned before, many colleges these days are actually seeking out homeschoolers and trying to recruit them because they're finding that they tend to be very well prepared for college, and that includes very prestigious universities like Ivy League schools, Harvard and Stanford and Brown and places like that. When you consider the statistics, like I said, that the average homeschooler scores well above the average school-going child on standardized tests and so on, it just makes sense that colleges would be interested in them. There again, as I said, that's going to depend on the individual child, of course. But homeschooling should not in any way detract from their ability to get into college, particularly if they're keeping good records and that kind of thing as far as what they're covering and all of that. Excuse me.
Although I have, like, a whole bunch of even though I have a lot of other questions that I want to ask, I really want people to get the book. I think the book is very informative, and it answers the questions that I asked you today as well as other additional questions that parents may need more information on. Overall, what are the benefits of a child being homeschooled?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because there are so many. First of all, so as I've mentioned, homeschoolers do well academically pretty much across the board in terms of test scores and other measures like that. Research has indicated, which I think is very interesting, that the test scores tend to get higher the longer a child has been homeschooled, which would seem to indicate that, it is the homeschooling situation as opposed to, just which kind of parents they have or whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of reasons for that, but just the low adult-child ratio by itself and the ability to individualize to the child would be reason enough for that to happen. And second of all, as I said, homeschoolers have a lot of freedom that most other kids don't have in terms of many homeschooling families travel a lot, which they consider a great advantage educationally and socially, since they get to, you know, see historic sites and be around different kinds of people and new places and that kind of thing. But they also have other freedoms, even just, you know, they can be outdoors on nice days, and they can pursue their interests more fully. There's more time for that. And a lot of homeschoolers also cite freedom from having to deal with undue stress and fear and peer pressure as a big advantage. And those are all things that have been shown by various education experts to interfere with learning. And so that's something that many people would consider a big advantage. And then, of course, you know, the subject of my book is the social benefits, a lot of homeschoolers experience a lot of what I would consider specifically social benefits as well, ranging from stronger family relationships, which almost everyone that I interviewed, parents and kids, almost every single one said that their family relationships got stronger when they started homeschooling. And then, you know, to more time with their friends and a lack of a sense of peer dependency, and also just safety too. They feel that homeschooling parents feel like that they're socializing their kids to the world as opposed to just to a group of, you know, same age kids or whatever, and that
right.
the role models are adults and older kids who already have some of the wisdom and skills and experience that need to be learned, rather than just sort of random social skills that they might learn from miscellaneous peers who happen to be there, you know, but who are also, in a way, beginners themselves at those skills. So just the benefit of being educated and cared for by the people who know and care about them the most and are in a position to maybe impart some wisdom, as opposed to just sort of having them go it more alone. I mean, not that there's, you know, in a school environment, there's a teacher present, of course, but that teacher is, even the best teacher in the world, has to deal with just too many students to really give that individualized attention, not just academically, but also in terms of just help and helping with social situations and whatever.
And something that you pointed, I wanted to point this out too, something that you pointed out to me when we spoke about a week or two ago, and that's a parent has that ability to see that child's strengths and weaknesses and can build on it. So
uh-huh.
I think I wanted to point that out as one of the benefits too.
Right. Yeah. Well, and there are so many that you know, it would be hard to get into them all now, but those are some of the big ones. And you know, as a result of a lot of these social benefits, I just wanted to mention this because, you know, sometimes it's easy to just talk about these things, but it helps, you know, when you see research results and that kind of thing. And there have actually been studies that have studied the social, that have compared, you know, homeschoolers socially and all of that, these are direct phrases taken directly from some studies that have shown homeschoolers to have what they call fewer problem behaviors, and higher self-concepts on the whole. And they've even been described in research findings, and this is a direct quote, this is not my words, this is the words of the researcher, that they have been described as more mature and better socialized than their average conventionally schooled counterpart. You know, that the average homeschooler seems to be having better results socially than the average conventionally schooled situation. So, you know, these are things that it's, like I said before, it's going to strike the public as like, what? That's not possible. But I think it's because our image that we have culturally of what homeschooling is just really different from what life is really like for these kids. You know, they're, because people imagine, you know, picture them being sort of locked up at home, and they're really not. They're out, you know, in the world playing and learning.
They're going to the library. They're going to the museum. They're seeing things more than, they're seeing more, being more socialized than a child in a classroom for 6-7 hours a day.
In many cases, yeah. I would say that that's true.
You wrote The Well-Adjusted Child, The Social Benefits of Homeschooling, and we're going to have to kind of wrap this up. But what inspired you, and I think you touched on it earlier, what inspired you to write the book, and what type of information will people find in the book?
Okay, well, basically, I just kept hearing, you know, I was watching my kids and their friends have such a great experience with this and enjoy all these benefits, and yet at the same time, everywhere I went, I kept hearing people ask this question, you know, what about socialization? And I heard, you know, a lot of people saying, I've thought about homeschooling, but I've decided not to because of socialization or whatever, you know, all the various ways that that comes up. You know, my child is too social, or I want my child to learn how to be around people or whatever. And as I read more research and met more homeschoolers, I just came to the point where I really felt that socialization was an advantage of homeschooling, and it was, and that these concerns were mostly based on just misunderstandings about homeschooling. And I wanted to make a resource available. I felt like so many people just needed more information about it. And it's not that I believe that homeschooling is for everyone, because, you know, it's a personal choice and different things work for different families. But I did want people to have accurate information and adequate support so that they could base an informed decision and have more options available. And I looked around and I didn't find an information source available, so I felt compelled to create that. So what you'll find in the book is just all the answers to all of those questions and concerns, and you'll find it in the form of both, you know, research studies and statistics and that sort of thing, but also in the form of a lot of personal experiences of a lot of different homeschoolers, including parents and kids of all ages who have shared their stories and given us kind of a peek into their real lives in this book. And I think that's the strength of it. That's what people seem to like about the book is reading the true stories of all these different people and seeing what they're doing. So hopefully, you know, it will serve as a source of support and information for those who are already homeschooling or planning to homeschool, but also for people who aren't homeschooling, and to understand better and give them some concrete facts and true experiences behind that choice. So that's hopefully what and for those who are already homeschooling, you know, hopefully information to help explain that choice to other people too.
I think for me, even those that may not choose to homeschool, I really still will recommend this book, because I think personally that even if your child is in public school, having that one-on-one and educating them when they're not at school, whether it's on the weekend or during the summertime, I think is vital for you to know what help your child needs and stuff like that, so they can be successful in any situation. So I wanted to point that out too, and I wanted to point out that a lot of parents that I do, as a special needs parent, I do realize that a lot of parents that have kids with special needs choose to do it because they feel like, and typical kids too, because there's one set structure and they want their kid to have a little more balance, and they want to be able to say, okay, I'd rather him or her have speech therapy 5 days a week instead of one. So I think,
right,
even if the parent has a child with special needs, this is a good book if they're choosing to homeschool or not. So I wanted to point that out.
Well, absolutely, yeah. You know, and one of when you know I was a public school, I was educated in the public schools my whole childhood, and I actually had a great experience in the public schools. And one of the things that my parents really imparted to me during my childhood was that the parent is always the child's first teacher and first and foremost teacher,
right.
No matter what the schooling situation. And yeah, that's definitely a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's, in a way, you know, everybody who's working with their child is homeschooling. You know, like I said, there's people who call themselves homeschoolers who their kids are going to school part-time. You know, and if a child is in school and their parent is working with them at home, you know, then that's kind of a similar situation. You know, it's really just taking responsibility and participating in the child's education and well-being. That's really, I think, the key thing, really.
Right. Where can people find it?
Let's see. It is... You should be able to find it available at your local bookstore and also online at Amazon.com and other online booksellers. And you can also find out more about it if you like and also order it through my website, which is www.rachelgathercole.com. It's a little hard to spell, but I have information about it and you can order it there or, like I said, on any of those other online booksellers or at the bookstore in your town.
Okay. And I want to say the title again. That's The Well-Adjusted Child, The Social Benefits of Homeschooling by Rachel Gathercole. Gathercole. And it's spelled as you say it.
Yeah.
So it's rachelgathercole.com. I want to mention that again. Congratulations, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
And I thank you so much for joining us today. I was really enlightened because I was one of those that had my own idea of what it was, and that really shed a lot of light on and changed my perception of what homeschooling is about. So I want to thank you for sharing that with us today. And
well,
I wish you continued success.
Thank you very much, and thank you so much for having me on. This was really great.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed talking with you.
And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.